Welcome. Glad to have you all here this morning. We've got a few announcements and a couple of things. Going to take a couple of minutes is the reason I waved off the light for right now, but we'll be getting to that in just a moment. I want to share with you from a couple of people I've heard about and how they're doing. Hugh Mays, you may have heard, thought they had a stroke, went to the hospital last Friday, I guess it was, and as it turned out, it wasn't a stroke, they determined, and had a good MRI at later. He's coming home tomorrow, I think, but it basically didn't want any visitors yet, so I just wanted to let you know it's not as bad and keep them in the prayers. Irene Mapes, who had had a special procedure, is still in the hospital, I think, to come home this week, possibly, if everything continues well. She had to have a procedure corrected or whatever. I'm not sure that it deals again. Caitlin said that he visited her, but just a few minutes is all she wanted. Another person that we're all aware of is Neil McCullough, who has had some heart problems and is back home, I understand, but it was reported that his heart activity is only like 20-30% of what it should be. I don't know exactly what that means. It can't be good. So just wanted to make you aware of that. Seems as if there was someone else. Do you all have any? Carol.
Keith Longyear's having sinus surgery on Tuesday.
That's right. This Tuesday, Keith Longyear's in your prayers in that she's having her surgery. Did someone? Betty Longyear. Any others? Hey, Betty. That was
Gabe.
Couldn't breathe. And where is he now? This morning. Wow. Sorry to hear about that. Yes?
Our daughter Abby is having hip surgery Thursday.
Well, I thought that was for old people.
Wow.
Thanks for sharing. Where is she having the surgery?
In Charlotte.
In Charlotte. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that. Yes. That's what I hear. Good. They had him up the first day, didn't they? Others? Okay. I also want to let you know that today is the beginning of our stewardship campaign for the coming year. You may remember that last year we used a program called Step Up One Step, where it divides by a step process that you'll be seeing next week. It'll be presented next week, what the current giving, you find where you fit on that chart, and you're encouraged to step up. Last year it was a very good program for us, worked out very well, and it's intended to be a multiple-year program, so we're doing it again. Therefore, for the next two or three Sundays, you'll be hearing from some of our lay people explaining about a little bit about expenditures, about the budget, and so forth. And the first person, well, wait just a minute. I just realized I glanced at my notes. We have some guests today that I don't know if they came here to be recognized or not. Now, there's some of you I don't know. There is a welcome package, if you will, a gift bag back there in the back. And if you'll pick up one of those before you go, or an usher will get you one, it has one of our cups in it, so forth. But there's a couple of people here from Marietta. Some of you may remember that's where Kaylin grew up, is in Marietta. Do you want to introduce them?
Sure, I can do that. So in my family, there was an allotment of genes for liking to be recognized by a large group of people and standing in front of people, and I got all of those genes, so they are loving this moment right now. But my family is here. My parents, my sister, her husband, and their two kids are all here with us today, and we're happy to have them. My dad's 60th birthday was last weekend. There we go. But they were off on a trip together, he and Mom were, and so now they're here with us today, so we can celebrate that. Also, whoever's been praying for the pastor to lose his voice one Sunday, I'd like to see you in my office after the service. All kidding aside, yeah.
Too much ball game.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know if there's such a thing as too much ball game, but maybe a little bit extra yelling and cheering at that. We're hearing the results. Now, back to what I was saying. We're having our stewardship campaign starting this Sunday. Each Sunday, you'll hear a report from layperson as we move into that. Today, what better person to have to tell us a little bit about some of the areas that our money goes to than the accounting secretary, Jane Logan.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. As we prepare for our stewardship campaign, I want us to look at how our tithes support our church, the community, and the world. We have our CEC building where learning occurs, and we're paying off the loan every month. This building, the FLC, and the annex are maintained, and bills are paid for this maintenance just like you pay your bills at home. Our pastor Kaylin, James, and the choir, and the rest of the staff make sure that we have a worship service that helps us grow in our walk with God every week. They keep us informed of what's happening with our members and what's happening in our church life. We have our children's and youth ministries that plan activities to help our young people grow and learn about Jesus and his love. Do you know what some of our teams do? Now, I'm not going to tell everything they do, just highlight some. Our serve team takes biscuits to the Open Door Ministry in Columbus and supports a missionary out of Rocky Mount, North Carolina. When we prepare hygiene kits for places that need them, their budget pays for the postage to ship these to the places. Our Grow team provides the upper room magazines that you will find in the narthex as well as the church office. And they also help with materials for our Bible study teachers. The Reach team helps with funerals and making sure that our families and our members are taken care of with food at funeral times and celebration times. The worship team helps provide flowers at Christmas and Easter time, as well as communion cups when we have formal communion, and oil for candles. Those candles right there are okay today, but the oil in the acolytes lighters. Our pastor's pantry, I can't say enough about. It has grown and served so many people, and they come each week. What you'll realize is the various teams are meeting now to work on their budgets for 2020, and those budgets will be given to the Finance Committee. And after the pledges are turned in on Consecration Sunday, we try to match up and make sure that we can pay for the ministries that we want to help with. The one thing I would remind you is the more support we have, that helps us grow the ministries that we have, and we can work with more people. As we close, I'd like to read you a verse from a Baptist hymn that I sang growing up, and it's, "Bring ye all the tithes into the warehouse, all your money, talents, time, and love. Consecrate them all upon the altar, while your Savior from above speaks softly, trust me, try me, prove me, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if a blessing, unmeasured blessing, will not be poured out on thee." Thank you.
There is one other announcement that I want to draw your attention to. This morning is World Communion Sunday. It is the Sunday that we celebrate communion not only with the people gathered here, but with people who are part of the church all across the world. And I would ask you to be reminded today when we come and celebrate this meal that you are sharing it not only with people across the world, but also with Christians all throughout time. Because we believe that this meal that we participate in today is the same one that Jesus Christ instituted. I would also like to give a special word of thanks to our Altar Guild and to all of the folks who are involved in preparing this special display for today and for all of their hard work all throughout the year.
And I have one more thing. You've heard a lot about, in the last few weeks, our directory that's being put together, a new directory. And we promised that we'd try to get it out by the end of October. That is still the target. You may have, I hope many of you have, received an email in the past couple of days verifying your information, like your phone number, email address, and those types of things. If you didn't get one, that may mean we don't have your email. If you would use the tab on the bulletin where you register for all of you, they're going to register for the supper on Wednesday night, please give us that information. If you did not get an email from the church asking you that, if you got it and it's okay, then that's fine. Several people have already notified us that theirs was okay. Haven't heard of one wrong yet. But please let us know if you did not get it. That means we either had the wrong email or didn't have your email at all. Join me in our invocation. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come with thankful hearts, thankful for your love for us and all your many gifts. Now it's in the Holy Spirit to guide, direct us as we worship you today. In Christ's name, amen. Prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you. Our opening hymn is number 618, Let Us Break Bread Together. Please stand as you're able. Number 618.
Break bread together.
please remain standing for the affirmation of faith, followed by the Gloria Patri. You can find the affirmation of faith on page 881 in your hymnal. Friends, what do we believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our first scripture today is Psalm 37, the first 9 verses. Please hear the word of God. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It lends only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. God's word. Amen.
Let us join together in a word of prayer. God of grace, what a comfort it is to know that in our weakness you make us strong. Lord, what a comfort it is for us to know that in moments where we stumble, where we fall, where we struggle, that you are there to lift us up, to set us upon the right path again. Lord, what a comfort it is for us to know that we do not walk this journey of life and faith alone, but that instead we have entire generations of a church family who walk this journey with us. Lord, we give you thanks for these many comforts today and for many, many others that we only have because of you. Lord, we ask that on this Communion Sunday, on this World Communion Sunday, you would make us ever more aware of those that we have the privilege of serving along with, the difference that the church has made in this community, in this country, and in this world, not only now, but all throughout time. God, we ask that you would continue to inspire us to be your people in each and every moment. In this moment of prayer, gracious God, we surrender to you the names and the situations that we are concerned about. God, earlier we listed names of those that we love, those who are part of this congregation, or those who are part of our extended church family. We lifted these names to you, trusting that you would answer each prayer. But still, there are other concerns that lie still and quiet in our hearts. And we pray that you would address these as well. We do not have the arrogance to presume to tell you how you should answer these prayers, but just instead that thy will would be done. God, we also sing your praises today for the ways that you have been at work, both big and small, for the ways that you have been alive in our lives, and that you have shown your glory to us. Lord, we ask today that you would again set our feet upon the right path, that you would rekindle and revive the gift of the Holy Spirit within us, and that you would help us take one more step towards righteousness today. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior and our Lord, and we say together, Amen. At this time, I would invite our children to come forward for our children's moment. There's a few.
If the usher will come to the morning offering. gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the many blessings you bestow upon us. And we give our tithes and gifts to your kingdom. Amen. Meditation is number 541. James is going to play it through once for us.
With me.
You may be seated. Our second scripture lesson for this morning is from the second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 7. Hear now these words. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, to promote the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I serve with a good conscience, as my ancestors did. I constantly remember you in my prayers at day and night. When I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I can be filled with happiness. I am reminded of the authentic faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that this faith is also inside of you. Because of this, I am reminding you to revive, rekindle God's gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me now. Lord, during this time we ask that the words of my mouth, that the meditations, the very rhythms of our hearts would be found acceptable in your sight. Because, O Lord, you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Amen. There's just something special about new stuff. There's just something special about new stuff. I love new stuff. Don't you? It's the reason why we all can say exactly what new car smells like, even if it's been years and years since we last had a new car. We just love new stuff. These past couple of weekends, I got to experience some newness in a few different ways. You see, last weekend, Allie and I got to go to a wedding for two dear friends of ours. I got to be in the wedding, not do the wedding, but just be in it, just stand there and participate. It was a joy, a privilege. And part of it was because of the newness, the excitement of their new love for each other. With each glance they exchanged with one another, you could almost see that new excitement. With each giggle you heard, you could practically hear that excitement. New things are special. New things are awesome. Then this weekend, as we've already said, I went to a couple of Braves playoff games. It's probably part of the reason why my voice is the way that it is. But Friday was a particular blessing. Because Friday, I got to go to the game. Allie and I went to the game with another pastor friend of mine and his 8-year-old son. Before the game, the three of us adults, we exchanged stories. Stories about previous postseason games we had attended. There were a few successes in the midst, but there were a whole lot of disappointments. A whole lot of losses on our ledgers. Mine in particular. And so as the game approached, we got more and more nervous, knowing that if we didn't win this game on Friday, our chances were not good. We all had had these experiences of disappointment, these Atlanta sports failures that seemed to haunt us all except our 8-year-old companion. He had never been to a playoff game of any sort. He had none of that baggage. And honestly, you could tell the difference throughout the game. As the game went on, I grew more and more nervous. As the other team got runners on base, I grew quiet from my nerves. As the game got closer and closer to the end, I became less and less confident and more reminded of past failures. But not him. As things got tense, he only grew louder. When they had runners on base, he cheered all the more. And as we got closer and closer to the end of the game, he became more confident that we were going to pull it off. Now, thankfully, blessedly, the Braves rewarded his confidence, and his playoff experience got off to a much better start than mine did many, many years ago. There's just something special about something when it's new. We all love something when it's new. New is awesome. The only problem is nothing can be new forever. Nothing can be new forever. By the very nature of the word new, everything that is new at one point will eventually become old. It's just the way that things are. Nothing can be new forever. That means that eventually all of these things change. That new car smell that you once had, well, it gets replaced by the smell of all of those other activities that you and your family like to do together. That love that we see, that excitement, that newness at the wedding, it gets replaced by something that I believe is deeper, but something that is different over time. New changes into something else. Yes, even those who experience the excitement of a first postseason game, even those who experience a win their first time out, will eventually learn the agony, the pain of defeat. And yes, church, even when you have a new pastor who comes in preaching like you've never heard before, particularly today preaching like you've never heard before, but that's neither here nor there, preaching like you've never heard before, eventually over time, even that begins to sound like someone that you've been hearing in this place for what feels like a million Sundays in a row. Newness can't last. Not good or bad. It's just the way that it is. But of course, that reality doesn't prevent some of us at some times in our lives from trying to constantly grasp for that new excitement, that new high again. We're constantly trying to grasp for that next new thing so that we have that sense of newness in our life. But oh, it can't ever last. So how do we find contentment? How do we find joy if we can't just hop from one new thing to the next? How do we find that joy that is sustainable? Well, I think that Paul gives us a little insight in our scripture passage for this morning. Our scripture passage from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. It's part of a letter from Paul, the grizzled evangelist that we all know about in the Old Testament, the one who wrote many of our letters, who started many churches. Paul, this huge iconic figure, and the much younger at this time, Timothy, who was just starting out, who was just starting to figure things out. Now, I think, honestly, that we in the church tend to criminally undervalue these letters to Timothy. I think we don't use these letters to Timothy nearly as often as we should, because these letters contain the wisdom of this grizzled old veteran that he is trying to impart on those still trying to sort things out. And this wisdom is meant for Timothy, but it is also wisdom for us. And so this passage begins, as most of Paul's letters begin, with a greeting. Just like when you write a letter, you begin it with a greeting. Hey, how are you? Nice to write you this letter. That's how Paul begins. And then he goes and recounts a little bit of the story that they have together. You see, Timothy and Paul's stories, they're quite different. Paul's story of faith is one where he has a tremendous conversion experience on the road to Damascus. He's going one way in his life, and he quite literally turns 180 degrees in the opposite direction. But that's not Timothy's story. Timothy's story is different. Paul tells us in this letter that Timothy comes to faith because of the faith of his mom and his grandma. How many of us can resonate with that faith story? But then it's the third part of this letter that I find particularly interesting and that we're going to focus most on today. This part where Paul tells Timothy to rekindle, to revive the gift of God that is within him. To rekindle and to revive the gift of God that is within him. Now, this gift of God could be a few different things, but I think most likely the gift that is being talked about is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the gift that all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ have. It is the presence of God Almighty with us at all times, working through us and in us. It is indeed an incredible gift. And it also helps us cultivate other gifts that we have. Gifts for listening, gifts for service, gifts for preaching, gifts for praying, gifts for leading, and many, many other gifts. It is that first gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that allows us to refine, to develop these other gifts. This is the gift that Paul is talking about. But it does bring up an interesting question. If Paul is talking about rekindling, reviving the gift of the Holy Spirit within Timothy, why is that necessary? Shouldn't Timothy, of all people, the new young follower, shouldn't he be on fire more than anybody else? Shouldn't Timothy be the first one there? Shouldn't he be the most excited? Because he's still so new. Well, see, I think that Paul, the grizzled old veteran, has the wisdom to realize something about Timothy that even Timothy doesn't realize. That Timothy is stuck in something that you and I have almost certainly experienced at some point in our lives, and are probably experiencing in some area of our life, even now. Paul realizes that Timothy is stuck in a rut. Paul realizes that Timothy is stuck in a rut. Now, I don't know about you. I've been stuck in a few ruts myself. I have known quite a few people in churches who have been stuck in ruts over the years. And it seems like whenever I see someone who gets stuck in a rut, or whenever I'm stuck in a rut, I try to break out of it with some big, extraordinary, grand gesture. I try to bust out of it by doing something huge, something wonderful, because then surely I'll be able to soar on to heights even further than I imagine. So many times we've tried. We've decided, you know what, I need to exercise more. I'm going to start running. And so on the first day, we go out and we run 7 miles. 7 miles. Never mind the fact that we haven't run 7 miles in the 7 months before that. We go and we run 7 miles, and then the next day, for the next week, our knees, our legs, our ankles, everything hurts. And we don't get out there and run again. Because we have these huge dreams. We want to start so big. We want to make this grand gesture. But it's too much. We want to save money. We decide we're going to go on the ramen noodle and water diet. It's all we're going to eat. But after 2 days of ramen noodles and water, we are so fed up with it that we just go to the restaurant and we order everything that sounds good. We end up spending way more money than we would have usually. We decide we want to develop some spiritual disciplines. We're going to pray. We're going to read our scripture. We're going to sit in silence and listen for God. And so on the first day, we decide we're going to read, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sit in silence for an hour in the morning. We're going to sit and just listen for God. Forgetting that an hour can be a really long time, y'all. And so you sit there the first day, checking your watch about every 15 seconds, trying to figure out how much time has passed. You have these ideas of these grand gestures, but they fall through, and you don't get out of that rut. Because all these big grand gestures, it's not the way that you break out of a rut. In fact, Paul tells Timothy something quite different. Paul tells Timothy here to remember. When things were new, to remember when Paul placed his hands upon Timothy and invoked the Holy Spirit. What Paul is telling Timothy here is to remember to go back to the basics, to go back to the beginning, to go back to when things were still so new. So many of us, we want to reach the mountaintop. And we don't have time for that mountaintop experience to take us a while. We just want to get there. We want to get there in one jump, one leap, up to the top of the mountain. We just want to go right up. But I've always thought that we call it the mountaintop experience because as soon as we get up, it seems like we trip and we roll down the other side. The mountaintop experience. That's not a good way of getting us out of the rut. But instead, what Paul tells Timothy to do is to go back to the beginning, to start at the bottom, and to take one small step. As he gets back to the basics, to just take one small step. And then once he's mastered that step, to take one more, and one more, and one more, until eventually, we have reached that place that once we thought was the summit, and God willing, even further than we ever dreamed. Y'all, we get out of a rut not by making some big, huge, grand gesture, but by taking one small step. Church, as I finish up here today, I don't know where it is in your life that you might be stuck in a rut. I bet it's probably somewhere, if you're being honest. I don't know if it's in your spiritual life. I don't know if it's your physical health. I don't know if it's your mental health. I don't know if it's your relationships. I don't know what it is. I don't know what aspect of your life you might feel like you're stuck in a rut. But whatever it is, remember that you don't have to fix it with some huge grand gesture. But that instead, all it takes are a series of small, intentional steps. And so, church, for just a little while, I want you to forget about those big pie-in-the-sky mountaintop dreams. I want you to forget about that for just a moment. And instead, ask yourself, what one small step can I take today? What one small step can I take right now? It's in the name of God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. In just a moment, we will celebrate Holy Communion together. We will do so, but first, we will do so via intinction. That means that you will be given a piece of bread, you will dip it in the cup that has juice, and then you will consume it. Rest assured, if any of you are germaphobes, I will not be serving you today, so you don't have to worry about whatever's up with my voice. We will, however, have gluten-free options available for those of you for whom that is a need or a desire. The ushers will direct you down as you need to come, so please follow their instruction. As today is World Communion Sunday, it is important that I remind you that this table is not reserved for a few, but is open to everyone. That this meal has been set apart, not for the few, but for all who would like to come and receive it. Because this table is not a United Methodist table. It's not First Methodist table. This table isn't my table. This is God's table. And all are invited to come and eat at it. So I invite you to turn with me to page 12 in your hymnals. There you will find our service today. I will read the parts in light, and I encourage you to follow along with me in the parts in bold. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to love in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and before one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and you made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. It was on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us that he gathered with his disciples in the upper room. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, Jesus also took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, with praise and thanksgiving, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim this mystery of faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Gracious God, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his banquet table together. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and always. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Those who will serve, will please come forward.